He is Christ the Lord, Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest,
and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Well, good evening. Merry Christmas to you all. It's a wonderful time of the year, and it's a great day to be found in the house of the Lord, ready to bring him worship and praise, especially at this time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Little ones, how many sleep till Christmas?
One.
Men of the congregation, how many shopping days left till Christmas? That's right. Yeah. It's a wonderful time. Let's, as we gather to worship, let's just be still before the Lord. Let's gather our thoughts and our hearts, and let's be totally present with him as we lift our voices in word and song this evening in worship. Let's just pray. Father God, it is indeed a wonderful time of the year. It's a time of reflection, a time of holiness, and a time of celebration, Lord, for we once again celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And we remember that day because that was the day that heaven broke in and the King of Heaven stepped down and became a little baby boy. And Lord, we are in awe of that day, and we are in awe of what Jesus accomplished through his life and his death and his resurrection. And so, Lord, we have gathered here to worship him, to worship you. We pray your presence among us by your Holy Spirit as we lift our voices to you in song of praise. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The order of service is as outlined there in the bulletin. There will not be any announcements. I'm just going to ask the readers to be ready to promptly come up and do the next reading. And we're now going to call on the Wednesday afternoon Bible study group called The Branches. That study group has been meeting at our church now for over 60 years in a consistent year-by-year fashion, and we study scripture together. And we have a good time of fellowship. So I'm going to ask the Branches group to come forward and light the candles.
Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever.
Tonight we reflect on the names given to this child born in such humble surroundings. He was given many names. Each one points to us as an aspect of the character of God. All of the names he has been given, the one the world needs most is Prince of Peace, for we pray that there may be peace in our hearts and peace in our world, but we know there can be neither unless it comes by him who is called the Prince of Peace. His name is Wonderful. May we be always caught up in the wonder of Christ. He is called Counselor. We can go to him with all our cares. He is called Mighty God. There is nothing beyond his reach or control. He is called Father. We are his children. He is called Prince of Peace. May the Prince of God reign in our hearts.
Where do our lives reflect this glory of Christ? Do we worship him in awe and wonder? Do we cast all our cares upon him? Do we put all our faith and trust in him? Do we honor him as the child honors their father? And do we live in peace with our neighbors?
Christmas is a time for deep reflection as we ponder that Christ gave up the glory of heaven to come to earth as one of us.
Shall we read the candlelighting liturgy? The Messiah, the Christ, has come. We are a redeemed people. The hope of the world is the King of Heaven.
The world is waiting in hope for this day. Lord Jesus, come and live in our hearts.
The Prince of Peace offers peace to a broken world.
We welcome the Prince of Peace into our hearts.
We are filled with rejoicing at his coming.
Our hearts are filled with joy as we invite him into our lives.
We will open our hearts and receive with joy the King of Heaven, the Son of God, who has been given for our salvation.
Good evening. 7 centuries before Christ came, Isaiah's prophecy of the virgin birth. From Isaiah 7, verses 13 to 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel."
And Matthew, fulfillment of the prophecy from Matthew 1:18 to 23. And this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
This section is generally entitled, "You Are to Name Him Jesus." It's from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
Let's go to Bethlehem, Luke 2:15-20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Good evening again.
Ooh, loud.
Makes a change. It's wonderful to be here. Christmas Eve and Christmas preparations are always a wonderful time. And we've been preaching and teaching through the season of Advent for a time of preparation. Christmas only begins tonight. Unfortunately, in our culture, Christmas begins just after Halloween. But it doesn't. It only begins tonight. And the weeks leading up to Christmas are, in fact, times of preparation. So we need to sort of center ourselves in around, now, what does Christmas mean, and what is it all about? What's Christmas all about? Addison? Jesus' birth. Lucas? Can you give me the definition of Christmas in one short word? It's all about a... Shorter word than that. It's all up, no, shorter word than that. Baby. It's all about a baby. It's all about a baby. And if we read through scriptures all the way through the Old Testament, when God wants to do something special, when he wants to do something really special, he sends a baby. You never thought of that, have you? All the way through, when there's been a special job to do, the first thing that God does is he sends a baby. So we're going to look tonight at some babies in the Bible, and we're going to ask some questions, and if you get the answers right, Addison and Lucas, I'm going to ask you, you're going to hand out these Christmas cookies. So here we go. If you get an answer right, you'll get a nice Christmas cookie, gingerbread cookie, nicely iced. If you get the question wrong, no cookie. No cookie. Right. First question. Who are Isaac's parents? Oh, come on. Who are Isaac's parents? Now, Tammy, I have to warn you, Tammy, you can only give one answer tonight, Tammy. Okay? Tammy's the leader of one of our Bible studies. Sorry? Abraham, okay. Can I give that to Mark, Tammy? Abraham and Sarah. You can answer a more difficult one later on. Okay. Addison, run that basket around to Mark there in the blue shirt and let him pick a cookie. Okay. Okay, next skill testing question. How old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac?
Too old.
Too old. The Bible does actually have a very precise number. I'm not going to listen to this crowd.
84.
Go ahead, Rhiannon. 72? And in advance on 72, yes? 70? No, it's a 98. It's lower than 98. Lucas? Nope. It's right there in the scripture. How old was Sarah when she had Isaac? Can someone cue the Jeopardy music?
90.
Addison? Give that young man there in the blue sweater 90. Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac.
Why is Isaac a special baby? Clearly, God was stepping outside the bounds of what we human beings think is normal, and he allowed a man of 100 and his wife of 90 to conceive, through natural means, a baby, and then give birth to this wonderful son, Isaac. What did Isaac do? Go ahead. No, we're going to get to him in a minute, the one who did the baptizing. Here's the special thing about Isaac. Okay. What happened to Isaac? What was Abraham about to do to Isaac? He was going to sacrifice him, their only son, their only son. Abraham was called on God to sacrifice. Will you sacrifice your son? It's a test. A test for Abraham's faith, it was a test for Abraham's trust, and we read later in Hebrews that Abraham believed that God would have raised him from the dead. He had allowed him to sacrifice him. Isaac is a model of Christ right from the early part of the Old Testament. God is painting the picture now of what's going to happen next with this baby, with this boy. Would Abraham, his earthly father, sacrifice his son? Because later on in the God story, the width of scripture, the whole story of God, God was going to sacrifice his son. And so we have that model there of Isaac being a model of Christ right in the early part of the scripture. Okay, did we get the answer to that? Yeah, who answered sacrifice? Who answered sacrifice? Was that you, Mr. Arthur? Lucas, would you bring the basket down to Bill there? Right up the side, there. Okay, easy one. Easy one. Only those under the age of 20 can answer this. 20, how many have we got here? 20. That keeps only those under the age of 20 can answer this question. What's the name of the baby that was put into a basket and put into a river? Nope. Yep. No, not Jesus. Under 20. Moses. Who said? You said Moses? Okay, one cookie up there. Okay, that was easy, right? That was easy. Here's a little bit more difficult question. What was the basket made of? You have to shout it out. Reeds? Bulrushes? What? What was the basket made out of? Yes? Sticks? Papyrus. I get the cookie. Papyrus, you didn't get the question. It's made out of papyrus and lined with tar. That was really good. But no cookie. Okay. Now, more and more difficult question. What were Moses' parents' names? Tim's going to his Bible.
Miriam. No, that was his sister.
Miriam was his sister, yep. Can you somebody cue the Jeopardy music again, please? Okay, we're going to let Tammy take this one. Go ahead, Tammy.
His mom was Jochebed,
and his father was? Numbers 26:59. We'll give you that. And Exodus 6:20. You can go and give Tammy half a cookie. No, give her a cookie. Go ahead. Go. Put your hand up, Tammy, so we can see you. Now, what did Moses do? Moses, special baby. He was his mother didn't want to obey the law of the king or Pharaoh at the time and have her baby killed. So she put him in the basket and put him out in the Nile. And for a mother, of course, that's just an unbelievably hard thing to do, to abandon your baby child. But she trusted in God.
And God dealt in that story in such a wonderful, wonderful way. And the baby went out and came right back to his mother. Okay, the baby went out, was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. Miriam had followed the little baby, Miriam being Moses' older sister. And Pharaoh's daughter wanted a mother to breastfeed the baby. So Miriam said, I'll take him and find a woman to do that. And Moses came right back to his mother. Act of trust in God. And God brought it all the way back. But what's very special, baby Moses? What did Moses do? What was Moses born for? To lead the children of Israel where? Out of Egypt, right? Out of Egypt and into the promised land. Okay, can you go and give Mr. Stevens a cookie, please? Around the other side here. Addison, go around the other side. There you go. Yes, Moses, that miraculous baby, if you like, he was born to be a redeemer. He was the redeemer of Israel. He was the one who was going to, God sent into Egypt and led the Israelites out of Egypt and through the Sinai. And he actually only got to lead them because of his own sin and failing, only got to lead them to the edge of the promised land. Moses, because of his sin, was not allowed to enter the promised land. But here's some things we don't know about Moses, or you should know about Moses, but probably don't. Moses didn't want the job. Moses did not want the job. If you read Exodus 3 and you read that story, Moses and God are talking back and forth, and God is saying, do this, do this, do this, and Moses is saying, no, not me. I can't speak. That's not part of my makeup. I don't want to do it. And eventually, God's anger burned against Moses. When God tells you to go do something, here's a hint. Don't argue with God. You are not going to win. You're not going to win. When God calls you and God has purpose for your life, you will fulfill that purpose. And that's what Moses did. Moses eventually went and he confronted Pharaoh in many different ways. And he was God's instrument, even though he was a weak man and he wasn't a very articulate man, as he admitted himself. But he did do God's purpose. God needed someone to lead the Israelite nation out of bondage, and he had a baby born for that purpose. And Moses is a type of Jesus, a type of Christ, a Messiah. Inasmuch as Moses led the Israelites out of their bondage, Christ leads any who will follow him out of the bondage of sin. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is your Redeemer. He will bring you out of your life of sin and into that promised land, that eternal life of peace and joy with the Lord in heaven. So Moses, a very special baby for a very special purpose. Okay, here's getting a little more complicated now. Who was the last of the Hebrew judges and the first of the major prophets? We seriously need to do more Bible study in our congregation, don't we? We seriously need to be getting into the Word Isaiah, oh, very, very good. Right, you're right in the right type of person. Okay, and did you have a different name?
No.
Okay. Liam, have you got it?
John?
John, no. No, a bit earlier Jeremiah. Than John. Jeremiah, no. Samuel. I get another cookie. Where's the twain? Another cookie. Yeah, that's good. There you are. That's good. That's good. That's good. Now, Samuel, too, was a special baby. God needed to do some very special things. And, of course, he brought a baby. And his mother was one of those many women in the Bible who was unable to have children. Okay? But God's not concerned about a woman's ability to have a child. He can bring children into the world, as we're seeing all the way through these texts. Hannah had not had any children, and she was praying and praying to God for the blessing of a child. Okay, and God granted that prayer, and he brought Samuel into the world. Anna was barren, but God can overrule that. God can overrule anything in his creation. God is not subject to his creation. His creation is subject to him. And you are part of his creation, and you are subject to him. So Samuel, little boy Samuel. What does the name Samuel mean?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. What does the name Samuel mean? Samuel means name of God. It could be called of God, could be name of God. I think we'll give a cookie there. There we go. Okay. That's, that, yeah, that's fine. What a wonderful accent you have. Oh. Yes, where are you from?
Birmingham.
Oh, Birmingham. Oh. Oh. So Samuel, little baby boy, born miraculously, he's raised his mother, having received the baby boy, dedicated him back to God. She was so blessed to have had this little baby that she dedicated him back to God and brought him to the temple where he was raised by Eli. And then he became, as I said, the judge of Israel and then one of the first prophets. And Samuel did a special thing twice. What did he do? And which persons did he anoint to be king? That's right. Oh, give one to Miss. No, that was one question, Laura, with two answers. Yes, again, another baby boy born for a purpose, born miraculously, because God wanted to do something special. And Samuel was the one who anointed Saul, and then he anointed David as king. Now, Saul was a king that the people demanded of God, so God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Okay. Sometimes when you ask God for something that God doesn't want to give you, you will rue the day that he did. Okay. The people had a king. His name was God, and they wanted an earthly king. So he gave them an earthly king like Saul, and it was a disaster. Okay. But God raised up David to become the king, and David is named as a man after my own heart. David had the heart of God. Knew the heart of God. But David, too, was a man of sin, and he created a grievous sin with Bathsheba. And in that sin, they had a child, but the child did not survive. But God did not condemn David for that. He did punish him for it, okay? But he married Bathsheba, and they had a son. He blessed their union. He blessed their marriage, and they had a son. What was the name of David and Bathsheba's son? Solomon. Who said that? Oh, is that Tammy again? Okay, someone on this side. Who was David and Bathsheba's son? Solomon. Solomon. Give Megan. I'm not playing favorites, but I don't. I am. They had a son called Solomon. Now, Solomon grew up to be a king of Israel. That's what he was born for. And God visited Solomon one day and said, ask me for anything you wish. Ask me for anything you wish. Now, what would a king of a country in the Middle East ask for normally? Power and wealth and dominion and power over his enemies. Sorry, Charlie, what did Solomon ask God for? Oh, wisdom. Give him a cookie. Right there, then. And Solomon today is still referred to as the wisest man who ever lived. So God wanted something done. And he had a baby born in Samuel, and Samuel raised, anointed David and Saul, and Saul had, David had a son called Solomon. But what was Solomon's job? What's the one thing that Solomon really did that the Lord wanted him to do, but that he didn't want David to do? Build the temple. That's right. Solomon was the one who built the first temple. Now, David wanted to build a temple for God, but because David had been a warrior and has had blood on his hands, God said, no, that's not for you to do. I want your son to do it. So Samuel then was a special baby, and we see all that lineage, if you like, that comes down from Samuel. But Samuel was special born. When God wants to do something special, he what? Sends a baby. He sends a baby.
Could you give Rhiannon a cookie there? She's at that end there. See, lots of special babies in the Bible. Did you know that? Did you know all these special births, these special occasions, when God wants something specific done, he sends a baby. Now let's move into the New Testament, getting closer to today, or tomorrow. Who are the names, and you can't answer the same, you can't answer questions twice. Stop answering questions, Tammy, okay? Okay. What are the names of John the Baptist's parents? No looking it up, and you won't find it in the hymn book, Amy. Zechariah and Elizabeth, okay. Give that handsome young man over there a cookie. What? One, it's a large family, so the odds are in their favor. So. Now, Elizabeth was also a woman who couldn't have children. She was well along in years, as was her husband Zechariah, but they couldn't have children. But you see, once again, God has power over his creation. He has total authority on his creation. There's nothing that God can't do or won't do when God wants to do it. He has that power and authority, and we need to submit our lives, as these people in the scripture did, mostly, okay, to the authority of God. And so they had a baby, and his name was what? No prize for that. John the Baptist's parents had a baby called? called John. That's right. What was John's purpose in being born? Baptize Jesus. It's actually more than that.
To be a Baptist.
Point the way. Who said point the way? Judy. He was the one when he was out baptizing, and Jesus comes along, and he says to his own disciples, he says, look, there is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was the forerunner, he was the pointer, he was the signpost to the world at that time. And John the Baptist stood there and he said, look, there's the Lamb of God. And then people started to follow Jesus and were attracted to Jesus. And at that time, as John says, he must increase, I must decrease. And John fades from the picture altogether in the New Testament. Okay? Special baby. Special purpose. When God wants to do something special, he sends a baby. He sends a baby. So what's the special baby? What's the special baby for tomorrow? Ethan? What's tomorrow's special baby? Jesus. Well done. Give Ethan a cookie. Give Ethan. Go ahead. Yeah, we all knew that one. That was an easy question, but you know how it is. Another special baby. Another special baby. Mary was a virgin. She wasn't married. How can that happen? How can that happen? By the power and the authority that God has on all of his creation. There's nothing God cannot do when God wants to do something. And when he wants a special baby, he will create one. That's just the way it is, and we need to subordinate ourselves to that. And Mary got to know that she was going to have a baby because she was visited by an angel. What was the angel's name?
Gabriel.
Give Janet there in the red jacket a cookie. She's been answering the questions all along, but how many have I got left? One, two. Okay. as we can see from all of these references throughout Scripture, the miraculous is going on all the time. God has his major purpose, which is the redemption of all the world. And he sent this special baby, Jesus, at this time for this special task. This baby, Jesus, wasn't just an ordinary baby, human baby like the others. He was fully human, but fully God, conceived by the power, the sheer power of God, and by the Holy Spirit, in Mary. And yet he has similarities to those other babies that we talked about. Like Isaac, who was almost sacrificed, Jesus was the sacrifice. Like Moses, who was the deliverer of the people of Israel, Jesus is the deliverer of all mankind, those who will, those who will not harden their hearts, those who will receive him will be delivered by him. Like David, he is a king, only he not an earthly king like David, but he is the King of Kings. In fact, in the readings of the genealogy of Jesus, we see David's name listed there because Jesus is a descendant of David. So like David, he is a king, but he is the King of Kings, come down from heaven. He was born in Bethlehem. What does the word Bethlehem mean? House of bread. Can you give... George is our Hebrew scholar in the congregation. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Okay, if you want life, if you want eternal life, you want life now, life that's filled with joy, filled with expectation, filled with hope, eat the bread of life. Take Jesus unto yourself. And that's what this birthday, this Christmas, the first Christmas, is all about. That's what celebrating Christmas is all about, is that God, in his infinite wisdom, demonstrates his infinite power, and a miraculous baby is born. Only this one is God himself in human flesh. And here's the message that we need to take home on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. Jesus was born in a manger, but he didn't stay there. When you come to church on Christmas Eve, expecting to find Jesus in a manger, you will find an image of Jesus in a manger, but he didn't stay there. Jesus went to the cross. And if you want to find Jesus, you're going to have to go to the cross to find him there. And at that cross, you pick up your cross, and you carry it with Jesus. That's what the message of Christmas is about. It's not about the tinsel, it's not about Santa Claus, it's not about the bells, not about the candles. It's about the gift of God in this little baby. And you have to receive him to be saved. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. But by God's miracles, not like this was just the only miracle, as we've seen all the way through, when God wants to do something special, he sends a baby. And he wanted to do something special this time. That special, something special was to redeem the world, redeem each one of us, save us from our sins, forgive us for our sins, and open the door of heaven for us. But we must receive him to do that. Must receive him to do that. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, there are many, many different ways that people celebrate your birth. And Lord, there really is only one way. And that is to acknowledge who you are and what you have done in this miraculous event. Lord, the true way of celebrating Christmas is to receive this indescribable gift that was wrapped in clothes and laid in a feed trough for the salvation of the world. Lord, we give you thanks once again for the birth of Jesus. Lord, may each one of us celebrate Christmas in our hearts this year by receiving him afresh, receiving him anew. You're here with us tonight, and you have not yet submitted your life and your heart, your agenda, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you to do that. Life is wonderful, absolutely wonderful, when you have Jesus in your heart. All the troubles and worries of the day are surpassed by knowing you have the joy of Jesus in your heart. I would encourage each one of you this Christmas to take a look inside, make room for him. God bless. May the peace and the joy of Christmas be with you today, tomorrow, and throughout all your days. May your home be blessed this season with joy and laughter and good fellowship. Go in peace. Know that God loves you. Today is proof that God loves you. Go in peace. Amen. Now, if there are any children here who haven't got a cookie, come forward and I'll see you get a cookie. And Mrs. Daly's got some candy canes for everybody.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.